Good morning. Thank you all for getting up at 8:30 to hear about STDs. I'm the first of the non-LA contingent, and I'm also—it's also my birthday today, and I can think of nothing better than to talk about STDs with you all. So I'm going to talk today about the prevalence of pharyngeal, rectal, and GU chlamydia and gonorrhea in our high-risk urban youth men who have sex with men population. And I hope by the end of the talk I'm going to convince you that urine screening alone really is not enough. And I have no relationships to disclose. So I think all of you in this room probably know this, but basically we know that a lot of the sexually transmitted infections that we see are in 15 to 24-year-olds. The CDC recognizes that this age group represents about 50% at least of the infections that we see, and the cost is high. So we're spending $8 billion, that's with a B, per year actually to treat these infections and to manage their complications. And the other thing that we know is that gonorrhea infections have been identified as one of the strongest and most consistent risk factors associated with HIV seroprevalence and seroconversion. And many people don't know they're infected. 85% of these cases are asymptomatic. So, you know, in our community and really throughout the country, we've seen a growing new HIV infections in young men who have sex with men, especially young men of color. And this very interesting study, actually out of California, of course, I guess, with all this wonderful expertise, came out where basically by Bernstein that showed two rectal sexually transmitted infections was associated with an eightfold increase of acquiring HIV infection in a two-year period, eightfold. So to us, this really highlighted a significant concern about who we should be paying attention to if we want to prevent HIV infection. So these are the current CDC recommendations for young women, anyone yearly for those 25 and under. Screening of sexually active men should be considered in high prevalence settings like the ones all of us work in. And then for MSM, it says with relevant exposures, which for a clinician like me, I'm not sure what that means. And then urethral, rectal, and for pharyngeal gonorrhea, at least annually, but consider every 3 to 6 months for men at highest risk. Again, that's really left up to us to decide who's at highest risk. And no offense to any other providers like me out there, but we're not the best judges. So our hypothesis was that asymptomatic, non-genital, chlamydia and gonorrhea infections contribute to a high burden of infection, and that pharyngeal, rectal, chlamydia and gonorrhea screening, along with urine genital screening, can increase the yield of positive cases in our young men who have sex with men population. So we really wanted to detect the prevalence of infection in men who have sex with men, and we wanted to also identify the number of infections missed if we had only done urine screening alone. So our methods were that we basically, from April of 2012 to October 10th of this year, so you have the hot off the press data from us, we wanted to offer what we affectionately call triple dip testing to our youth men who have sex with men population. And this just gives you a sense of who we're seeing at the spot, which is our youth center where we provide free health and social services to those between the ages of 13 and 24. So one other thing that we did, so providers obtained the pharyngeal specimen, but we actually gave the young men the rectal swab to do themselves, and we had a picture and we showed them how to do it, and they just did it in our bathroom and handed it off to us. And then we also did urine, which they provided as well. Our lab method, we did nucleic acid amplification testing. This is another barrier to this kind of testing, is this testing is not currently FDA approved. The lab we used had an internal validation process in a manner consistent with what the CDC recommends and the Association of Public Health Laboratories recommends. Just a word about the spot. So The spot has been in existence 5 years. We've had over 114,000 total encounters for the listed services. But I'm really happy that STD medical and HIV are in our top 10 list for services that youth are coming to see us for. You have the rest of the top 10 list there. Drop-in is that we provide a drop-in space where youth can just come hang out. It's a safe place. There's no, you don't have to do any kind of programming there. So these were our testing results, which frankly floored even me. So we had 250 unique individuals, and 103 out of those 250 patients had a positive test, 41%. And of all the testing that we did, 205 had positive specimens. There were 65 chlamydia tests, positive chlamydia tests in 50 patients, and 140 positive gonorrhea tests in 86 patients. And so you can see some patients had multiple infections. This is kind of the breakdown. So about 53% of the positive tests were gonorrhea, 32% were both, 15% chlamydia. And then you can see by site. So for chlamydia, rectal infections, gonorrhea more evenly split between rectal and throat. This breaks it down a little further, so you can also see some people were infected in more than one site. But for chlamydia, rectal alone led the way. And for gonorrhea, throat and rectal led the way, so being co-infected. And this, to me, is really what I hope is our take-home message, is that if we had done urine testing alone on these young men, we would have missed 70% of the gonorrhea infections and 83% of the chlamydia infections. So we would have missed the vast majority of infections that we identified if we had not done the triple testing. This is a busy slide, but it breaks it down by our specimens and so by the actual tests. So the red really highlights, if we looked at the chlamydia cases, only 5 of the 45 positive tests would we have found a urine test that was positive. And for gonorrhea, only 15 of 56 urines would have been positive. So again, just breaking down for you where we would have had, where urine testing would have worked, but also you can see for the vast majority, urine testing would not have identified these folks. And then you can also see the pharyngeal specimens, and so for chlamydia, only 1 of 9 for the pharyngeal specimens would have been positive, and for gonorrhea, only 9 of the 59 pharyngeal infections would have been positive with urine testing alone. So conclusions for today are that clearly urine screening alone is not a reliable proxy for gonorrhea and chlamydia infections in a youth MSM population. And I think it's really important to keep in mind, this was all self-report data from our young men. So these were youth who were willing to say they were having sex with men. And that leaves a whole lot of question about youth who, for whatever reason, are not able to tell us that yet. And then rectal specimens had the highest rate of positive testing. Urine specimens had the lowest. Urine screening alone would have failed to detect at least 70% of the infected individuals with chlamydia and gonorrhea infections. And this also really calls into question our concern for a growing risk for HIV infection in our community. So for the HIV uninfected patients, just that these rectal STDs are really a marker for their high-risk activity, namely unprotected anal intercourse, and also a potential cofactor for HIV acquisition. And so it's really giving us an opportunity to warn in a different way, given what we know about the rectal infections and the increased risk for HIV infection, and to have a different kind of conversation with these young men. And then I think also considering that, you know, we're all concerned about this potentially resistant gonorrhea infections and ongoing transmission of gonorrhea, which all the people up here have been working so hard around, it does make me worry that, in fact, we're missing the gonorrhea infections and that we may not quickly identify if we have resistant organism. And so both of those are concerning just in terms of then what happens to that infection. So none of us do good work without a team. I'm really grateful to my entire team, both at the SPOT and to Dr. Ali and Dr. Hayes, who partnered with me on this project. And I'm also really grateful to all of our patients who really participated quite willingly. And we're really, really interested in our results and actually encouraged other people in their social networks to get tested. Thank you very much.